Good morning. Welcome to Celebration Church. Let's all stand together as our campuses join with us over in Appleton and Stevens Point. And let's recite together the Apostles' Creed. This is our statement of faith. This is who we are, what we believe at Celebration Church. We believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth. We believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who for us and for our salvation was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead, and on the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the fellowship of believers, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Good to have you with us here this morning on this very chilly morning here in the lovely state of Wisconsin. I just want to say a quick thank you to all of you who were so very kind to Debbie and I, particularly over this last month for her. So many of you that brought food and stuff over to the house, and ladies that came and sat with her and prayed with her and ministered to her in her final days. And then, of course, for the big send-off that we had at her funeral, which was a wonderful, wonderful evening. And so glad many of you came over from the other campuses as well. Thank you for that. And so there you go. She's in a much better place today. Hallelujah. It's not nearly as cold up there. Y'all are wonderful people. I love you guys. You're the warmest people on earth in one of the coldest places on earth. Anyway, so our leadership team here at Celebration Church, meeting with me, said, you know, you really ought to just step back for a little while, kind of catch your breath. And so I'm going to be stepping back for the next month and not doing teaching and preaching here. What we're going to do is have different guys coming today. The Reverend Jimmy Bratcher is with us. He's going to be bringing the message today. Next week, Gary Rivas from South Africa will be here sharing with us. My goofy brother Eddie will be stopping by as well. All kinds of great speakers over the next month. And you'll like it so much you may not want me to come back. But anyway, so I'm just going to kind of chill and relax. And praise God. Y'all okay with that? Yeah. All right. Y'all. My pants are getting loose. I talked to a brother the other day. He hasn't had his wife around for a while. I said, man, you lose any weight? He said, man, I've lost like 25 pounds. I said, man, I'm losing weight too. I said, you know what this means? He said, what? Women make us fat? Anyway, give it up for the Reverend Jimmy Bratcher this morning.
I don't know about all that. I'm thrilled to be here today. Thank you so much for braving the elements and coming out and hanging out with us. I think Mark has some kind of cruel way to test our authenticity and genuine relationship. The first time I ever came here, he invited me to come every Sunday in February. And so I came, and I did it actually for 2 years. And the first year is like I went back to Kansas City and whined about the weather in Green Bay. And the next year, I came up, and throughout one of the weeks, I had to fly to Winnipeg to do a TV program. And I came back, and I made a declaration to the church. It's like, I'll never complain about the weather in Green Bay again. So I'm not going to whine about it, but it's good for us to be here. Sherry is with me, my wife. She loves y'all, all y'all, and we do. We love not only Mark and Debbie, but you all as a church. You've opened up your hearts and received us, and it's a blessing for us to be able to be here. So anyway, grab your Bibles and find Luke chapter 11, and I'll get there in a little bit, but first let's pray. Father, thank you so much that you've called us out of darkness into your marvelous light, Lord, that we come into this place today and that we're expectant to hear you. And by hearing you, Lord, that we would be transformed, we'll be changed. The way we do life will be different because we came to church this morning. We watched online, all the other campuses. Lord, I just pray that as I speak, that my words might encourage, they might rebuke, they might bring us to a greater understanding of who you are, and that we might not just know them, but we might experience them. In Jesus' name, amen. So it's New Year's Eve, and the crowd went mild. So we always on New Year's Eve, we have to do some dreaming. Like last New Year's Eve, I was with Mark Gunger, and he had me outside in the cold all day, and I came in and went to bed about 9 o'clock. And I have not heard the end of not staying up until midnight for an entire year. So tonight, I'm staying up to midnight, 12:01. I will be asleep. But it's New Year's Eve, so we should be doing some dreaming. What do you believe is possible in 2018? That's a big question. But it's something worth considering while we're here together today on New Year's Eve. What do you believe is possible for you in 2018? Not what do you hope, but what do you believe? There's a difference. What can you see yourself doing, or better yet, being in 2018? Because doing's good, but being's better. Doing is good, but it requires our own will. It requires determination. Being something is much better because it's no longer about the effort, the willpower. It's about who we are. And the entirety of the Bible is really a book that was written to us to help us discover our true identity in Christ. It's a book about identity. It's a book about our family. And when we embrace that and we be that, that becomes who we are, our life has a different step and a different flow to it. But this time of the year, most of us do something that's not really so good for us. We spend a lot of our time focusing on everything that we're failing at. And that's what New Year's resolutions are all about. You know, we identify an area that we're uncomfortable with, that we're weak with, that we want to change. And then for the next 6 weeks, we focus on that area until we get so tired of it, we just quit. Right? Isn't that what we do? And that's okay. You know, evaluation is important. It's a key to success, but it's only a key. It's only one part of it. So we also must know that what we focus on determines our future. I mean, what we see in front of us determines our future. And that is tied to our destiny. Our destiny is tied to our focus, how we see what we see in front of us. A few years back, I was invited to a church in West Virginia to do an event they called Speed Weekend. I loved it because they had all things speed. So they even brought in highway barriers out in the parking lot and had a burnout contest in the parking lot. It was fabulous. But after the event, the pastor and some of the guys in the church wanted to go ride motorcycles, and they brought me this motorcycle. And the guy that owned this motorcycle came up to me, and he said, you know, he said, what I do for a living is I build top fuel dragsters. And so anything that can be done to make this motorcycle go faster has been done. So I just want to tell you that if you see a spot where you want to go and you hit the throttle, you're going to be there and be there before you know it. It was an absolute blast because I'd be riding and I'd see a little spot up there and I go, and bam, I was there. My focus became my destiny. And we like that too. But so many times we're focused on our present or past failures, and if we continue to focus on them, guess what we're going to get? We're going to get more of them. Why? Because our focus determines our future. Our focus determines our destiny. Have you ever noticed how that you can take two people and you can show them the same exact thing, and yet they'll come up with completely different answers? to one, they'll see success. They can look at an opportunity and just see success. And to the other, they'll see failure or fear. You see, how we see what we see is so important. So with that in mind, let's start looking at 2018 in a different way. Not focused on our failures. Yeah, we should work on our failures. Yes, those should be a concern to us, but not our entire concern. Let's start looking at how we see what we see. And let me ask you this question. Are your eyes seeing good or bad? If you look out into 2018, are you seeing good or bad? In the fall of 2015, I discovered that I had developed a habit that I had to break. And the habit was this. Anytime that I was faced with a challenge or an opportunity, I would always evaluate that challenge or opportunity first with how this won't work. So anytime somebody would say, hey, you know, here's a project that I think you should consider, my evaluation process was always to evaluate it first on how it couldn't work. And guess what I discovered was that a lot of things in my life were not working because of that. Because I was approaching it as instead of an opportunity, instead of looking for that which was good, I was looking for that which was bad. Instead of looking for success, I was looking for failure. And guess what I was having in my life? I was having a whole lot of non-success. In the early part of 2017, I had an experience happen that really altered my life. I have a guy that works with me and helps me do some things, and he called me and said, I need this specific picture of you. And I knew the picture he was talking about. It was a live performance picture. And so, but what that meant was I would have to go back through all of the years of my pictures on Dropbox and look through and scroll through them and try to figure out where this picture was at. And while I was doing it, I came across two pictures. And I tried to find both of them today. I only found one of them, so I didn't want to show them to you. But I found two pictures, and they were of my son Jason and my daughter Amanda. And it was in Jason, the picture of Jason, it was Jason sitting on the floor playing with a kitten that we had at that time named Max. He was probably about 8 years old. And the other picture was a picture of my daughter Amanda on her 8th birthday, standing in our kitchen holding a teddy bear that she had got as a present. And I saw those two pictures, and I kept on looking for this other picture that my friend wanted. And all of a sudden, I heard a voice in my heart. And the voice said this, how did you feel when you saw those pictures? And I knew immediately how I felt. I felt regret. I felt regret. Because I looked at that picture of Jason, and he's playing on the floor of our house at that time, and it was really little more than just a shack, a four-room house out in the middle of nowhere, 5 miles back on a gravel road that we heated with wood. We sometimes had water, but there was a spring out in the field where we could go truck water back into the house. We were always just a few steps away from being homeless or to being without food. And so when I looked at that picture of Jason, all I saw was all of the lack that I felt and the emotion of lack and regret that I felt in that moment. And the same way with the picture of Amanda. I felt those same emotions. I looked at them and I saw those pictures and I completely and was oblivious to the wonder of those pictures. All I saw was what wasn't there instead of what was there. I couldn't see a little boy playing with a kitten. I couldn't see a little girl holding a teddy bear and the joy that they were experiencing in those moments. I was looking at a completely different reality. I only saw the lack. It was a harsh reality when all of a sudden, as I thought about what I felt, I heard another voice in my heart say, Jimmy, you need good eyes. And I was instantly reminded of this passage of scripture in Luke chapter 11, verses 34 through 36. Jesus is speaking. So whenever those letters are written in red, it requires our utmost attention. And he says this, "Your eye is a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is good, your whole body is filled with light. But when it is bad, your body is filled with darkness. Make sure that the light that you think you have is not actually darkness. If you are filled with light, with no dark corners, then your whole life will be radiant, as though a floodlight were filling you with light." So let's look at it like this. The Bible directs our attention here to our eyes, and it directs our attention to two types of eyes. Eyes that see good and eyes that see bad. Now, I know theologically you can take and make more out of this verse, but today I just want to take it at face value. And I want to ask you this question. Are your eyes good or bad? When you look out into your future, when you look into your life, do you see the good that is there, or are you focused on the bad? Do we see the good things or the bad things, the failure or the opportunity? We do this all the time. And we're creating a perception of our life that aren't necessarily based on truth. The Bible tells us many times, and it asks us the question, what do you see? What do you see? And so whenever I think about that, I think about a couple of stories. And the first one is in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 17. And it reads like this. And Elisha prayed, "Open his eyes, Lord, that he may see." Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire around Elisha. So here's the situation. This servant and Elisha are in a house, and the servant goes outside, and he looks around him, and all he sees is that they are completely surrounded by enemy forces that are there to destroy them. But there was another perception that he didn't see in his eyes. And Elisha here prays for him to have his eyes open, that he can see. And when his eyes are open, then he sees a host greater than the host arrayed against him. And he sees actually the provision of God, the goodness of God, the power of God demonstrated there in front of him. But he just didn't have eyes to see them. Do we see good or do we see bad? The young man could only find disaster in his views. His eyes were full of fear, full of defeat and failure. But there was another view of his world. And once his eyes were opened, he could see what was really there. When God opens our eyes, it will be to always reveal his goodness. Have you ever noticed that? It's like when you look back on something that the Lord did in your life, it's always so much better than you expected it to be. That's because that's the nature of God. Another story is found in Numbers chapter 13, verse 18. And it reads like this. "See what the land is like and find out whether the people living there are strong or weak, few or many." So this was the commission given to the 10 spies when they were sent into the promised land. They were to go in and see what the land was like, find out whether the people live there are strong or weak, few or many. 10 people went in, but not all 10 people, they all saw the same thing. They all experienced the same thing. But only 2 of them actually saw with good eyes, while 8 of them saw with bad eyes. The 8 of them said this about what they experienced in Numbers 13, the second part of the verse. It says, quote, "And we seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them." It was a matter that of perception of how they saw themselves. They saw themselves as grasshoppers. They saw themselves as defeated. their eyes were not good, but there were two other people that were there, and they saw something completely different. And in Numbers 14:7, it says, "And say to the entire Israelite assembly, the land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good." Two sets of people, all facing the same thing, all seeing the same thing, all experiencing the same thing, but were completely opposite one from the other, because some of them had eyes that were bad and some of them had eyes that were good. The two that had eyes that were good, they had promised land eyes. They had a promise from God that God was going to give them a home, that he was going to give them a land, and that land was going to be overflowing with good things. And the promise of that land was so much greater in their eyes because they focused on it, that yes, they saw the giants. Yes, they saw the walled, fortified cities. Yes, they saw the strength of that land that they were going into, but the promise was bigger than what they saw. You and I have to be people that have eyes for the promise, that have eyes for the promises of God. So, what do you see in your life for 2018? What does your world look like? Is it full of expectation? Is it full of good things? Or is it full of fear? You know, those of you that know our story, mine and Sherry's story, we were married and divorced. And our first marriage was so bad that my grandmother paid for our divorce. In fact, we just finished a book that'll be out sometime in 2018, and the title of the book is Granny Paid for Our Divorce. So we had all this history of all of these terrible things that we did to each other, all of the abuse that we suffered under each other's hand, all of the failure all the way to the divorce court, all of those things. But somehow, out of our own stupidity and the will of God, we got back together. And when we got back together, we had to make a choice. We could either continue to look at the failures of our past. We could either continue to experience the emotions of the hurt that we had in our history, or we could begin to look at good things. We had to start framing another vision in our eyes and in our minds and in our hearts that actually preached to us our future. They spoke to us our future, and the promises of God had to become greater than the failures of our past, and then they would overtake those things. When Sherry and I were divorced, she had a mentor. She was actually teaching her and discipling her to become a believer in Jesus, and the mentor asked her a question one day, and the question was, "Well, Sherry, you've came to Jesus and you're born again, so what's your plan for your future?" And Sherry said, "Well, I was all jacked up and Jesus helped me, so I'm going to believe that for Jimmy." And the mentor said, "You need to get another plan." Because he's not the type to be saved. It's like, wait a minute, time out. I thought sinners were the type to be saved. I had a PhD in sinology, you know, I was doing the stuff right. But we got back together, and so Sherry, she left that meeting with her mentor that night, and she took it to Jesus, and she said, "Jesus, I don't know what to believe." And she was mad, yeah. And one thing you don't want to see is Sherry mad. Trust me, I know. And so she sat down and started to reflect and started to look into the future. And she just flipped open her Bible and pointed at a verse. Now, I wouldn't recommend that you try to run your life this way, but she did. And the verse was Acts 16:31. And it said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved and your house." the promise became greater than the failures. The promise overtook by its sheer power the failures. And when you and I are focused with good things in our eyes, we can watch and see. We can see the goodness of God revealed. We can see the hand of God move in our lives and in our families in ways that are even beyond our expectations, because that's just the way Jesus really is. He goes beyond what we could ask or think. It's just almost unbelievable, but it is. You see, all the promises of God to us in Christ, 2 Corinthians 1:20 says this, "For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ." All of the promises of God to us as we believe on Jesus, as we receive Him as our Savior, as we take hold of the identity, the new identity that God has for us in Christ, and we bring them to ourselves, all of those promises, God says to you, yes. And so when you look at your life in 2018, I want to encourage you to look with good eyes. I want to encourage you to do your evaluation on all the things that you're failing in. Make resolutions to correct those things. But I want the good that you see in your life to outweigh the bad. I want your eyes to see that host that's encamped around you, that's there to defend you. I want you to see the promise that God has for your life that's greater than all of the trauma that you're going through. I've met some goals for myself, and I'll just share them with you and then I'll stop. For 2018, these are some things that I want to have happen in my life personally. These are my spiritual goals. My other goals I'm not going to tell you about. Number one, I want to see with good eyes. More than anything, I want to see with good eyes. I want to be able to look at my kids, look at my grandchildren, look at my friends, and I want to be able to see the good in them. And I want to be able to speak to that good. I want to be able to have a word, a prophetic word for them, that when I look into their lives and I see that seed of hope in them, that seed of goodness in them, and be able to just speak right to that seed, I want to have good eyes. Number two, I want to see God as He is in the person of Jesus Christ. I want to see Jesus. I want to see Jesus. I want to see God as He is, as I behold Jesus. Whenever we read the Bible, you know, we read the New Testament, and we read the Gospels, and we read about the behavior of Jesus, I want to see God. When we read about His character, I want to see God. I want to see God as He is. Number three, more than seeing it, I want to experience the love and acceptance that God has for us all. 41 years ago, when Sherry and I came to Jesus, we had little or no value in our lives. We had no future. We had no hope. And yet, in a moment of faith, in a moment of prayer, in a moment of surrender, we asked Jesus to come into our lives, and we saw something happen. We saw good to happen. We experienced His love. We experienced His acceptance, and we experienced His value. And it's the most transformational thing that I've ever experienced in my life. And I want to experience that more and more, moment by moment. Number four. Thank you. I want to embrace and believe that I am who He says I am. The great struggle of mankind is to believe the truth about our identity. It's a great struggle that we all face. It's the struggle in the garden. It's the struggle that the temptation of Jesus was all about. we are on a quest to believe who God says we are. And in doing that, our new identity is revealed and we get to experience the life that Jesus died and came for us to experience. So in 2018, I want you to see good things. When you're thinking back tonight over your resolutions and things that you want to change, I want you to make a list of those things that you're failing in, and I want you to make a list of those things that you're succeeding in. And I want you to look off into your future, into your destiny, and focus on that and watch and see how important it is for us to have good eyes. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much that you care so much for us, that you would teach us, that you would lead us, that you would encourage us, that you would take us to a place where we can fully embrace who we are in you. And Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters here in Wisconsin, Lord, that as we face 2018 together, may it be a year where we face it in faith. May it be a year when we look out into our future and we see good things. And Lord, I thank you that you create in us that desire and that hunger. And Lord, may we be those that have good eyes. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Jimmy.